If you have ever lived with another human being, you understand the concept of holy. Growing up, my dad would always have a bag of barbecue potato chips that sat on top of the refrigerator. I knew that was Dad's bag of barbecue potato chips. And if I went and ate them and made them go away, I would know that they were Dad's barbecue potato chips. This is holiness. And I know you probably are thinking, what in the world is Pastor CJ talking about? To be holy is to have something that is set apart for a particular purpose. In the context of how we associate holiness, it's something set apart for God in particular. Just like my dad's potato chips were set aside for his enjoyment and his pleasure. Or his lunchbox, as the case may have been. To be holy is something that is set aside for a purpose. And so today, I want us to spend some time thinking about the Holy Bible. What is the Holy Bible? What is the Bible?
The Word of God.
And, well, we can talk about that. We'll get there. It's a collection of writings, right? At its very base nature, it is a collection of writings. 66 particular collections of writings if you're Protestant, or 73 if you happen to be Catholic. We'll get there. We'll talk about that too. These writings have been passed down from generation to generation, and for our entire lives, they haven't been all different. They have been the same 66 or 73 collections of writings. They haven't changed in any of our lifetimes. It's the same Old Testament, the same New Testament. The same First Testament, the same Second Testament. The same First Covenant, the same Second Covenant. I'm using that language so that you can be aware that other people call them different things. And in this book, there are stories, there are parables, there are allegories, there is poetry, there are songs, there are letters, there is historiography, there are visions, there are things we understand and things we wish we didn't understand and things we don't even have a chance to understand because we don't want to. This book means a lot of things to a lot of people. And I want you to think for just a second. What does it mean to you? What does this collection of stories and everything else mean to me? Chances are it means a lot. It means more than any other book or collection of books. It speaks to us in a way that other books don't. Why is that? Why do we think this collection of writings is any different than any other collection of writings? Why is this book different for us than the Encyclopedia Britannica that has been sitting on our shelves for the last 20 years and should have been thrown away because we have an online one now? Why do we hold this particular collection of writings special and read from it and listen and respond with amen or thanks be to God, or if you're Catholic, may it be on my mind, on my mouth, and in my heart? Why do we do this for the Bible? Well, 2,000 years ago, there was a guy that walked on the planet. His name was Jesus. That's part of what is important to us, right? The Bible goes beyond that time period, but 2,000 years ago, Jesus was walking in the earth, and he referred to something as Scripture. Scripture is holy writings. If you read it in the Greek, Every time the word scripture happens in English, it's writings. And Jesus spoke and he read from the scriptures. But Jesus' Bible was different from our Bible. Jesus' Bible was the law and the prophets, which is most of what we consider the Old Testament. And then the authors of the New Testament, the writers who wrote letters, Paul especially, Paul and Peter refer to the scriptures. And what they talk about when they're referring to the scriptures, they're referring to the Old Testament. Except in one time where Peter refers to Paul's letters and he says they're confusing. So at least Peter knew that Paul's letters were there. He says they're confusing and they're easy to misinterpret and misunderstand and confuse people with. And then, right around 300 CE, or AD for those who want to use those letters, something happened in the Roman Empire. Constantine became the emperor. And when Constantine became the emperor, he decided he would make all of the Roman Empire, the official religion of the Roman Empire, Christian. And to do that, he needed to commission something be done. He commissioned 50 Bibles to be written. Now, I realize that doesn't sound like a whole lot post-Gutenberg process. But in that time, that was a big deal. And if there were going to be 50 copies of the Bible, he had to figure out which Bible to use. Because at that time period, not everybody agreed on what books should be included in the Bible. There was a guy named Marcion who thought that all the Gospels were wrong and that the Old Testament was useless. So he threw it all out, wrote his own Gospel, taking material from Luke mostly. And a piece of the New Testament said, this is the Bible and all that is necessary. Other Christians said there were some Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there were some letters from Paul that were important. And there were some letters from John that were important. And a letter from Peter. And that was the Bible. They left out Revelation. They left out the letter to Jude. They left out 3 John. They questioned whether or not 2 Peter should be a part of the Bible. And I'm telling you all of this, one, so that you know, but also so you can understand that not everybody agrees on what should be in the Bible and what should not be in the Bible. There are 73 books in the Bible that the Catholics read from, and there are only 66 in the Bible that the Protestants read from. Which tells you as late as around the 1500s, people still didn't agree on what should be in and not in the Bible. What should be considered scripture and what shouldn't. The Bible is not just the Bible. It is the stories and the writings that we as the church have considered authoritative in teaching us the things about God. And I realize that may be very uncomfortable for some of you, because for some of you, this book is the Word of God. It is written, transcribed, scribbled down by God, God's self. For some of you, that's what you believe, and that's okay. I'm going to tell you that there's another perspective out there. The official perspective of the United Methodist Church is that it is inspired by God, which is different than God actually taking control over Pastor CJ and writing something. The inspired words here were inspired by the same Holy Spirit that is in you and in me, that was in the authors of the Old Testament and in the authors of the New Testament. And is it helpful for us? The Word of God, as one of my seminary professors said, is Jesus. The Bible reveals Jesus to us. Which is part of why I've encouraged some of our scripture readers not to say the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God as your response. Because this is not the Word of God. It reveals the Word of God. Because only Jesus is the Word of God. And again, that may be uncomfortable for some of you to think that thought, because it may be the first time you've ever heard that thought. Because someone, somewhere, may have worshipped the Bible more than they worshipped the God revealed in the Bible. And that happens today and every day all around the world, too. So what is the Bible? I've belabored us enough and made us all very uncomfortable. What is the Bible? The Bible is the revealed, is the revelation of God to us so that we can know God. Why is it important? Why do we care? Well, why should we care about this? I think what Paul writes in 2 Timothy is very instructive to us. It says, all Scripture, all holy writings, all the things accepted by the church as authoritative to us, is what you may have memorized as a child, God breathed. The Greek word there, you're going to learn some Greek today, theopneustos, which, you want to go and say it? Theopneustos. All right, you all learned some Greek today. It's made from two words. God and a word for inspiration or breath. Pneumatic, sound familiar? Neustos comes, we get that word from there. God has given us all of this for a purpose. Useful for teaching. Teaching who God is, teaching who we are, and teaching about the relationship between the two. This is the revelation of God to us. Through these stories, through these songs, through these everythings in this book, this collection of books, reveals God to us. And if you read it, you will see God on all the pages. And it will teach us about God. It will also teach us about ourselves. And oftentimes it will teach us about the things we don't want to think about ourselves, right? Israel's problem, the most common description of Israel in these collections is stiff-necked and stubborn. That teaches us a thing or two about ourselves, doesn't it? We are stiff-necked and stubborn too. We do what we want to do when we want to do it, regardless of whether or not God has called us to it. At least that's our tendency. It is useful for showing us our mistakes or convicting us. It is useful for showing us just how human we are and how human-centered we can be. It is useful in opening our eyes to the fact that we do not always live according to God's purposes. And those are the passages we like to skip over, right? I'll paraphrase a quote that is attributed to Mark Twain. Mark Twain is reported to have said, "I'm not concerned about the parts of the Bible that I don't understand. What troubles me most are the parts of the Bible that I do understand." That's what Paul is writing to Timothy here. The Bible, the Scriptures, the words that are holy, that have been given to us as authoritative, that reveal God to us, teach us things about ourselves and trouble us. Because they are used for correcting us, for guiding us in our thoughts, and for revealing our need for God. And this translation says, and for training in character. Some other translations will say, for disciplining us in righteousness. The word there for training is the word we use that we get pedagogy from. For training up children. For teaching us. All of this is helpful for teaching us so that we can be God's people in this world. Because it reveals God to us. Teaches us the stories of Jesus, who is God, who walked among us. Teaches us how we relate to each other as the church and as people. And teaches us that we don't get it right very often. But God's grace is enough for us in all things. Because God is the God, according to the stories in here, who redeems slaves and brings them unto Himself. God is the God who will buy us back every time we sell ourselves to a different God or a different power or become slaves to something else. God is the God who cared enough about us to walk among us, live as we lived, die our death, and conquer death, that we too may conquer death. God is the God who has made us more than conquerors through our knowledge of Him who loved us so much and by the gift of His Holy Spirit. This book, this collection of books, is just a bunch of writings on a surface level. But in the deepest levels of our hearts, this is the book that lets us know who we are, who God is, and how our relationship with God can be. And I love it. I love this. And as your pastor, it's my job to hold up this book to you and teach it and interpret it and help you think about it at least once a week for about 15 minutes, maybe 30 if I go long. But it's all of our jobs to take this and read it and think about it more than just once a week for 15 or 20 minutes. It's all of our jobs to study it together, to see God in the pages, to meet God in the pages, to see and let God convict us and strengthen us and heal us so that we may be trained to be God's people at all times and in all places. This comes to us so that we can know God and help others to know God as well. That's why it's so special, right? It reveals who we are and who God is, challenges us to use our brains and discern what's within it, to be able to figure out what in it is historical context and what in it is timeless truth, what in it is real and lasting. What needs to be written on our wrists and bound on our forehead and written on the doorposts of our houses? What in it needs to be taught to our children all the time? That's why I had us read the Shema, which is the baseline for Jewish and Christian faith. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's passion, all that you are. With all your soul, the inner being, with all of your might, your physical action and ability. And Jesus added a second commandment that we get from Leviticus, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Brothers and sisters, the Bible is the book that reveals God to us. It reveals us our need for God. And it reveals the relationship that God has toward us of love and mercy and forgiveness. Amen.